get ready for a brand new season of Sports Talk. Join Ian Levenstein, Jason Green, Joey Maggs, and all the rest on the Sporting Goods. Mondays from 3 to 4 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. It's all part of the 5-Hour Sports Block on Mondays.
Fellow geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is Geek Speak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein.
My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. Episode 33 of the Geek Speak podcast is now up and running, and it feels like it's been forever. I mean, it's really weird that I released that episode on Tuesday, getting rid of the whole Thursday thing for a week, but I had a lot of fun with last week's episode, and I want to thank Marvin John of RedshiftRadio.com for joining me for that, and hopefully you'll hear some more of him in the future. But anyway, I had a nice, relaxing vacation, had a great time up in Maine, and one of the things that I saw up in Maine will be one of the things that I am reviewing on today's show. But let's get down the docket of things that you will expect me to talk about on today's episode, starting things off with my newest baby. Aww. No, I didn't have a kid. I'm talking about my Zen Vision M, my Creative Zen Vision M MP3 player that plays video as well. I am going to get into all the nuts and bolts of that and give you my review of it after the first week or so that I've had it. I'm having a lot of fun with this player so far, and I will get into that on today's show. Also, a tweak that I meant to talk about a few weeks back, but it has completely escaped my memory for a while now, which is ironic because it has to do with memory in the first place. And that, of course, is Firefox memory leak. I'm sure you all have experienced it at least once. Well, here's a way to get rid of it in one fashion at least. And I will get into that on today's show. Also, it has been projected that by December 2007, Firefox will overtake Internet Explorer. How happy am I about that? Let me think. Really, really happy. And we're going to get into that. Along with the fact that there is a group of people out there trying to destroy Internet Explorer. Now, is this warranted? Is this valid? Well, I have my take on that. And also, a dockable DVD player with the Game Boy Advance is coming. It's dropping in May, and I will have my thoughts on that. And as well, the whole deal that went on this past week, the past 2 weeks, of Saved by the Bell being on Adult Swim, that is absolutely crazy. And a review of Silent Hill, which is what I saw while up in Maine. But we'll get things started here with the technology that is now in my possession, and I am, of course, talking about the Creative Zen Vision M. This is Creative's top-of-the-line MP3 player. It's 30 gigabytes, so it's got plenty of space for storage. And also, there have been some people that have been talking about the fact that the battery is unable to be removed. However, there are many websites up there now with strict instructions on how to get to that battery if indeed it does die. And you can remove it. You can also remove the hard drive if you want to upgrade it. But the hard drive is another story. I'm not even going to get into that because, well, I'm quite happy with 30 gigabytes. I mean, there are people out there who right away get their MP3 players and say, ooh, I'm going to give it a 100 gigabyte hard drive because that'd be totally awesome. I'm never going to need another one again. Well, guess what? I'm never going to need another one again because, well, I use this for podcasts and for video mostly. 30 gigabytes is all I am ever going to need. Sure, I'll put some albums on there, and I have put some albums on there, and I will put more albums on there, but it's mostly for my podcasts and for my video because, well, I got sick and tired of sitting on the bus on the way up to Boston with absolutely nothing to do. Well, this gives me something to do. And here are the specs straight from creative.com. And I did review ever so slightly the Zen Vision back in the day. I remember that on one of the early episodes of the show, I talked about the Creative Zen Vision, which is the grandfather to the Zen Vision M. And now the Zen Vision M has basically become the best of CES 2006 as voted by CNET. And it's the best in show and the best MP3 player, so hell, that works for me. But here are the features. Loads of entertainment without the load. And wow, this is such copy speak, it's not even funny. Smaller and better than ever before, the Zen Vision M does more than play your videos, photos, and music. It displays them in their true glory on a vibrant, large, full-color screen. Perfect for road trips, long or short, carry your entertainment in the palm of your hand. Available in a white 30GB model, take your pick from five dazzling colors. Blue, green, pink, magenta, okay, maybe not, black, and white. And Michael Jackson says, yes, black and white. 120 hours of movies, big screen blockbusters, yesterday's picnic with your best friends, and even your favorite TV shows, cough, cough, BitTorrent, they now fit in your pocket and are perfect for sharing. Zen Vision M supports many video formats such as DivX 4 and 5, XVID 5, MPEG 1, MPEG 2, MPEG 4 SP, WMV 9, and Motion JPEG. Tens of thousands of photos. Yeah, it holds photos. Anyway, an amazing 15,000 songs you can pack on this baby here. And again, it's MP3 and WMA. I mean, why you would be using WMA, I guess that's up to you. But I guess if you do have anything that is WMA, well, hell, you can use it on here. Although WMA is not even close to MP3, in my opinion. But then again, it's because it's a Windows thing, and I don't like Windows very much. Anywho, video and photo slideshows. Connect the Zen Vision M to a projector or TV and delight friends with big screen movie magic. Now, I gotta touch on this right away. The fact is, well, how do I put this? Oh yeah, the cable's not out yet. Although it is, I guess it's sort of out. The cable to connect your Zen to your TV is so hard to find, it is impossible to get anywhere other than eBay right now. Creative Zone's store does not have it in, and they also do not have the leather case in, which is why I had to go to a leather case off of Amazon Marketplace. But still, it's very hard to find right now. Rechargeable Li Ion battery. Enjoy up to 14 hours of music or 4 hours of movies with the rechargeable Li Ion battery. Basically, what this means is that you can watch the entire Lord of the Rings Extended Edition while not having to charge, which is really, really great. So, enough copy talk here. It has an FM radio and recorder and also a voice recorder. The microphone on it, it's not perfect, but, you know, it suits my needs because this is probably what I'm going to use for my on-the-road recording. So the next convention I go to, this is probably what I'm going to use for that because I will not have access to a mini disc like I did the last time around because, well, next convention I go to, I won't be at this college anymore, so that's going to be a bit difficult now, won't it be? I got the black Zen Vision M because, well, I'm cool like that. And also because I think it looks the best out of all of them. The white one, obviously, will get dirty way too fast. The pink one, not my thing. The green one was neon and blinded me. So I went with the black. Right out of the box, literally, right out of the box, the screen gets scratched. And it's not that I dropped this or anything like that. It just got scratched through regular use. I just picked it up and then put it back down, and next thing I know, wait a second, there's a scratch on. How the hell did that? Gah! Which is why I'm already going to be buying what basically everybody who uses an LCD screen with an MP3 player should have, and that is Applesauce. Applesauce is an amazing product. It really is. What Applesauce does, it adds an extra layer to the LCD screen, the plastic itself, so that it removes the scratch. Of course, it has to be a light scratch. A deep scratch, you're never going to be able to get out. But if it's one of those like light scratches that you're probably going to get on a Zen Vision M or an iPod, Applesauce will get it away. And also, I am going to be buying one of the clear plastic covers that has just been released. It's a full body cover for the Zen Vision M so that it will not get scratched again. But still, very easy to scratch the device think of that before you buy it. Also, one thing that I found about the Zen Vision M is that the dock that you use to connect it with a USB or with the AV out, which actually is a very, very nice touch, you're actually able to plug in, literally physically plug in your Zen Vision M to charge it if you don't want to charge it through USB, and it charges much quicker that way. So if you're away from home and there's no computers around, you can recharge your Zen Vision M very easily. But there's a little dongle that you need to connect to the Zen Vision M in order to get to the USB and the plug and the cables as well, which will be able to connect to your TV if I actually had those. But still, I found that with the leather case that I purchased for the Zen Vision M, it won't go in. It's too big, and it just will not go in. The case makes it so that it connects and then right away falls out, which is not too good for me, which is why I need this plastic cover, because with removing the Zen Vision M over and over again from this case, well, it's just going to get more and more scratched, and I really don't want that. The player itself, and this is actually important here, even though the player gets scratched very easily, I have to say that the scratches when watching video on the Zen Vision M are very, very hidden. It's not noticeable at all. Unless you put it on an angle, unless you put it up to the light, you'll never notice that the scratch is there. Unless it's a deep scratch, like I said, that's another story, but I don't have any of those on my player. Video. That's the important thing here. The video is superb. Basically, you don't have to do any conversion whatsoever if you have an Avi, which is perfect for me. Pretty much every single Avi that I have on my computer, I can just put onto the Zen Vision M, and it will automatically lower the size of the movie from 720 to 320 like it should be. And, well, from there, you can work with your M, which is certainly a plus. I watched an episode of South Park on it that looked clear as a bell. I watched a Robot Chicken on it, which was excellent. And I've got Dignation loaded up on it because, well, hey, I'm a geek. That's what we do. We watch podcasts, especially ones with former Tech TV employees. But it is sweet. The quality of the screen, which is actually one of the main reasons why I went with the Zen Vision M over an iPod video. Also, the fact that I didn't want to be tied down to MP4 for all of my video needs. I hate those proprietary formats like that. I like being able to go with anything I can possibly need. And, well, MPEG 1, MPEG 2, AVI, Motion JPEG, a lot more options than the iPod video gives you. But the screen quality on this is fantastic. Much better LCD screen, high visual quality on this. It's an HD quality screen. And because of that, the content that you're going to watch is going to look great. The screen size itself is slightly bigger than the iPod video, but it really is not too noticeable. But still, much clearer than anything you'll ever watch on an iPod video, which is why the iPod video, in my experience, is pretty much a joke. Because, well, it's just an iPod that plays video. That's it. No enhancements to it whatsoever, especially on the screen side. With this, you got a great screen, able to use it perfectly. The FM receiver, actually very good without even using an enhancement. But of course, obviously, that'll change if you're inside a building and there's not much reception. But where I've been so far, the FM sounded pretty good. Although, I'm not really going to be using FM too much. And that's one thing that I've noticed. While looking for an MP3 player, there was nothing, and I mean nothing out there except for one other MP3 player that had AM. AM radio. I love AM radio. You know, I want to listen to my Yankee games, and I want to be able to listen to sports radio, but I can't on the Zen Vision M, which is a drawback. But I did purchase a small little easy-to-carry Sony player that handles AM, FM, and also has a TV and weather on it, which is good for me. MP3s play perfectly on it. Wonderful sound. One thing I will not recommend is using the headphones it comes with because I cannot get those things in my ears for my life. I don't know whether I just have small ear canals or what, but they just will not stay in for longer than 5 minutes at a time. So I'm just going with the headphones that I had for a long time now. Price point, you'll be able to get it for around $250 if you look hard enough. Most places are selling it for around $299. I got mine for $294 on sale at Circuit City. But that, after tax, was basically the same price as a Zen Vision M without tax. So I am going to give this baby a 4 out of 5. It would be a full 5 if it didn't scratch so easily, but, well, Also, the fact that the interface takes a bit of getting used to. I've already gotten used to it, but it took me at least 4 days to figure out what the hell I was doing, even after reading the directions. But now that I have, all is well. Another thing that I need to mention is that if you put your ZenVision M into your computer using Windows XP and you don't get anything showing up, relax. Chances are it's not the player, it's probably your USB settings. I had this happen to me, and I almost went nuts trying to figure it out. Inside your BIOS, there are USB settings, and there are certain groups that are available on there. There's administrator, and then there's one other setting on there. If the setting is not everyone, if there's not a group called everyone, you're going to have to manually add that to your BIOS, which is something that I needed to do. I found a tutorial to do that online. I will link to that in the show notes just in case anybody does ever need assistance getting a ZenVision M or any other MTP MP3 player out there. MTP is the proprietary format for MP3 players these days. Almost every MP3 player uses that now. And you can't use it unless you have the proper setting inside your BIOS. So you're going to have to do some BIOS editing, nothing too severe. Take 5 minutes and you'll be set to go from there. But I'll give it a 4 out of 5. It's been doing well for me. And hopefully, if you purchase it, it will do well for you as well. By the way, you might notice that the music that I'm using on today's show is very different than the music that I usually use. Well, that's because I finally did it. I'm switching myself over to PodSafe Music, and I would like to thank Podshow at podshow.com for providing me with the music for this. And it's PodSafe Music, which is certainly good for me. And also, I will be playing music by a great guy that I found through the Ozma forums, actually. His name is Anamanaguchi, and he creates music by using his Nintendo synthesizer and also a couple of guitars, and he does a great job. I love the music, and I'm certainly going to be using at least one of his tracks on today's episode and possibly more tracks in the future. Anyway, to deviate back to the news, here is a nice little Firefox tweak for you, and I'll go with all the Firefox news at once here. I'm sure that everybody out there, I certainly have experienced at least one opportunity where Firefox eats memory like it has been starving for memory its entire life and is now fulfilling itself. What does this mean? Well, simple. It spikes up to using 1/2 to 3/4 of your memory sometimes. It's a royal pain in the ass. They say that this is a feature of Firefox, so that it will allow itself to run at normal capacity even when a lot of tabs are opened. Well, I don't call that a feature, I call that a bug, but to Firefox, it is indeed a feature. So I guess more power to them, to each their own. I'm going to believe what I believe here. What are you going to do? To get rid of this memory leak, there is something that you can do. And again, I should rephrase myself there. It's not going to get rid of the memory leak, but it is going to allow you to bring Firefox's memory down severely, and I mean severely, when minimized in your computer tray. And this is what you got to do. And this news is courtesy of tech.cybernetnews.com. Now, this is by no means a real fix for the Firefox memory leak, as I just said, but it certainly does appear to help it quite a bit. This little fix will move Firefox to your hard drive when you minimize it, and as a result, it will take up less than 10 megabytes of memory while minimized. So far, from my experience with using this today, when you maximize Firefox, it will obviously increase the memory usage. However, it does not seem to back up to the insane amount that it was at before minimizing it. For example, Firefox was at 180 megabytes of memory usage, and then I minimized it, and after a few seconds, I maximized it. After maximizing it And continuing on my routine business, it appeared to only have gone up to 60 megabytes. So that is a 120 megabyte drop, which is amazing. This seems to be a good solution for me right now, since I frequently maximize and minimize Firefox anyway. Now, I know many people will say that Firefox will take longer to maximize since it will be located on the hard drive, but I haven't noticed any delays. It is able to redraw itself just as quickly as it was located in the RAM, in my experience. Okay, now here are the few simple steps. And listen closely to this, because if you do it wrong, then obviously you're not going to be getting the feature. Step one, open Firefox, and go to the address bar. The address bar is where you type in the website name, folks. Type in about colon config. I've talked about config on previous episodes, and it can be a major assistance to anybody looking to make changes in the way Firefox works. So anyway, you're going to open up about config in your browser. And from there, you're going to right click in the page and select new boolean. Boolean is pronounced B-O-O-L-E-A-N. Now, the next step, in the box that pops up, enter config.trim on minimize and press enter. Now select true and press enter, and then restart Firefox. And it's nice and simple. You're not going to ruin Firefox in any way, but what you are going to do is make it so that you're working with less memory. The first time that I tried this, I had about 220 megabytes of memory devoted to Firefox. I minimized it. It went down to about 4 or 5 megabytes. And when I open it back up, it was only at about 80, which is, for me, a major, major difference. So again, open up Firefox, go to About Config, right-click on the page and select New Boolean, then enter up config.trim underscore on underscore minimize. Press Enter. Now select True and then press Enter and then restart Firefox, and you will have a Firefox that works much, much better than it used to. So that's the way that works. Now, some other Firefox news for you. This is news that, well, I guess doesn't really surprise me much, but then again, it also kind of does. And this is coming out of Hedges.net, and I found this off of Dig.com, which is my friend as always. I recently noticed that 25% of the users on the Humor Archives were using Firefox. I got to wondering how, and when Firefox had picked up quite so many users, so I grabbed the raw figures from my log analyzer package, and using JFree charts, I slung the below graph together. And so it seems that not only has the percentage of Firefox users been increasing for the last 2.5 years, but the rate of increase in the percentage of users has also been increasing. However, I wanted to get a worst case scenario of when Firefox would overtake Microsoft Internet Explorer. To get the worst case, I plotted a linear regression to forecast the growth. I then messed around with various other regressions to see what more optimistic regressions gave. The results are below. Linear, it will overtake IE in December 2007. Logarithmic, also, December 2007, exponential, July 2006. Now, my university mathematics lecturer would probably turn in their sandals and at the mathematic rigor of my analysis, as it is only based on one website with just 4 million page views per month. However, it does give some indication of when Firefox will eventually take over as the dominant browser. And yeah, the math is a bit screwy. I'm sure it is, but it really is interesting when you think about it. Firefox keeps growing in popularity every single day. And I know that I must sound like the giant tool, like you would not believe, for promoting Firefox over and over again, but it's just so much freaking better. I hope you people realize this out there. I'm sure a lot of people do. I threw Internet Explorer in the trash, and the only time I ever use it is when I open up IE tab in Firefox, and I like it that way, and I hope it stays that way for a long time. These numbers for Firefox, I'm sure, are probably not as off as one would think, considering that more and more people switch over to it every day. And I'm sure it will continue to be that way. IE7 will probably sway a couple of people back over to the side of Internet Explorer, but not that many. And, well, I like it that way. Firefox deserves all the praise that it gets, and I'm very happy it is getting it. But to what extent should people be bringing Firefox up? To what extent should they be advertising it? To what extent should they be putting down Internet Explorer? Well, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who's on 800 podcasts weekly, okay, maybe not that much, but he sure is on everything, David Price, who, by the way, has a new segment on Comics Cast with Bruce Rosenberger, and that is a great podcast. I love Comics Cast. This is what David Price has for me. Firefox backers create Destroy IE campaign. Ooh, this might help the market share even more, or will it hurt it? That's the question. Explorer Destroyer movement takes aim at Microsoft's browser. A group of self-titled political activists in Massachusetts have started an aggressive campaign to get browser users to switch from Microsoft's Internet Explorer to Mozilla's Firefox. Taking advantage of a new program by Google, the campaign called Explorer Destroyer pays users $1 for each referral to Firefox made through Google Toolbar, according to the group's website. You already want people to switch to Firefox. Now's the time to get serious about it, according to the site. Google is paying $1 for each new Firefox user you refer. Now you can advance your ideals, save people from pop-ups and spyware hell, and make some serious money. Google did not return call seeking comment for this story, but the search giant offers a standard $1 per user referral fee to websites that generate new downloads of Firefox with the Google toolbar. Why attack IE? In addition to the Explorer Destroyer website, where users can download the scripts for their sites and get more information, the group has also launched another website that parodies IE and provides users with reasons why they should switch to Firefox. And I'm going to stop right here, because on one hand, I'm really happy to see something like this. I'm glad to see people offering money to people who get smart and switch away from IE. However, I think there are limits, really. Now, this might sound odd coming from me, of all people, but to create a website, okay, where all you're doing is parodying Internet Explorer, that's what it's for, I don't know, that's getting a bit much there. And again, I know Internet Explorer is not the best browser out there, and I know I myself put it down on a regular basis, but this might be going a bit too far. This is almost playground tactics here. I'm all right with giving people a buck for switching people over to Firefox. Having an entire website devoted to parodying them might be going a bit too far. So maybe take that part out of the equation and just be glad that they are giving people an amount of money for switching people over to Firefox, and take advantage of that, folks. I'll have a link to this in the show notes so you can get your own opinion on it. But again, to me, this feels somewhat sophomoric, having a website that just parodies Microsoft. Because again, Microsoft parodies Excel, but doesn't need any help. I'm sure people know that by now. I certainly do. All right, I love combination devices. There aren't enough of them out there, but devices that do two things in one, or maybe even 12 things in one, really make me happy. Like, I love a DVD player that will not only play DVDs, but also CDs, VCDs, SVCDs, DVD-R pluses, DVD-RWs, CD-RWs, CD-Rs, and even plays a couple games. That is totally awesome for me. Now, we will be getting a DVD player that has Game Boy Advance games. You will be able to play your GBA on a portable DVD player, and this is completely awesome here. This news coming out of joystick.com, because there's always a joystick news story on my site. We first got our hands on Visteon's portable DVD player come Game Boy Advance at CES back in January, and frankly, weren't impressed. Our final assessment, needless to say, the engineers have their work cut out for them. Well, those engineers have had a couple months Let's see if they've eliminated the major shortcomings of the prototype. First off, the controller more closely resembles the interface of a GBA. Gone are the help and backup buttons, with the perennial start and select buttons in their place. A superficial but welcome change. The five face buttons have been reduced to a more reasonable three, which is still one more than they needed. Why two A buttons? That's a good question. The screen resolution issues appear to have been solved, at least if we're taking the press images at face value. In the prototype, there was some problem with the GBA feed not filling the entire screen and suffering from the conversion to 16:9. In the marketing mock-up above, there is no sign of this problem. We're hopeful this accurately reflects the final product. No word on price, but it will be available May 2006. Now, I wish I had a minivan to put this in the back of and someone to drive me around in it and somewhere to go. Oh, God. Joystick is so alone, you can tell. But still, this is kind of interesting here. Now, again, there were some shortcomings to the original prototype, but again, it's a prototype. That's what it's all about. You iron out the difficulties and you get yourself a better product in the long run. Hopefully, they have done just that with this here. Visteon, they're known for more expensive products, which means that don't expect to get this at a local place for about $50 because, well, it's just not going to happen. You're going to be paying out the ear for this probably. And as a portable DVD player, I must say, the specs do look kind of cool. The controller is a wireless controller, which is sort of interesting. And it comes with wireless headphones. So it's basically completely portable. You got the wireless headphones, the wireless controller, and the portable DVD player. Is it worth it, though? I think it is. I think that the Game Boy Advance is, to this day, one of the best portable systems of all time. I mean, I'm not too much of a portable gamer, so I haven't played too many of the games, but the ones that I have played were a hell of a lot of fun. And with the look of the mock-up here, I'm hoping that this actually is an actual shot of it. It's playing Mario Kart for the GBA. And it looks really impressive here. I mean, the graphics, obviously, they're GBA graphics, so they're not going to be nearly as good as the DS or anything like that, but it looks very, very well done. I hope it continues to look well done. I hope it's actually as good as they're leading it on to be, because, well, I like good things, and I'm sure other people do as well, but hell, I don't know. I mean, I usually have a problem with companies I really haven't heard too much about. Visteon is one of those guys. Apparently, they're more popular than I think, but I've never heard of these guys. These sound like, you know, like Kobe and stuff like that, the lower-end dudes. But again, apparently, they're pricey. So maybe they're just to the rich crowds, or maybe that's why it's a portable DVD player with a GBA in it. It's a creative idea, though, because I would have never thought I would have ever seen any product like this on the market, because when you think DVDs, you don't think Game Boy. You think PSP, but those aren't even DVDs. They're UMDs, and UMDs are going out of style, which is probably a good thing. It's probably going to do exactly what I got my Zen Vision M for. It would be a nice way to kill time when in a car or when on a bus to be able to play your DVDs and then switch over to a game. That's always fun. So I guess they're just working on making it even more fun here. I'll have to see it in action. I'll have to see maybe a video of it or maybe a review on something like Digital Life TV or something along those lines. But until I see something like that, I can't really give a review of the thing, but I'll say it certainly is creative. That'll be as far as I can go, I guess. Meanwhile, also in the world of games, and this is something that I forgot to mention at the top of the show, programmers have won the EA overtime settlement in EA Spouse Revealed. And this is at Gamasutra.com or Gamasutra.com or any of those combinations. Software engineers have won a $14.9 million settlement from Electronic Arts in a settlement of a California class action lawsuit over unpaid overtime following a similar $15.6 million settlement reached in October with graphic artists. According to the new settlement, some of the entry-level programmers will be reclassified as hourly workers, making them eligible for overtime pay. In return, they will be allowed a one-time grant of restricted company stock, but will no longer receive stock options or bonuses. The $14.9 settlement money will go to programmers at various levels who worked at Electronic Arts between February 14, 2001 and February 14, 2006. The settlement is expected to be a catalyst for changes not only in other video game publishers and developers, but in other software companies outside of the game industry. EA also announced that any unclaimed portion of the settlement will go to the Ronald McDonald House Charities and to establish scholarships at five selected universities for female and underrepresented minority students interested in studying interactive entertainment. The five universities are Carnegie Mellon, Cornell University, Georgia Tech, Stanford University, and Morehouse Spelman College. And Carnegie Mellon is actually where my cousin's going to be going sometime soon, so that's kind of cool. Although it is kind of too little too late for EA. I mean, if they wanted to support people, well, they wouldn't have kept their employees at the office like slaves in the first place. It's hard to say, but it's certainly the case. EA workers never saw their families. They would be held hostage almost inside their offices for hours and hours on end getting work done. The reason why this lawsuit occurred is because families forgot what their fathers looked like. Families forgot what their brothers looked like because they just were never home. Because EA thought that they could do whatever they wanted with their employees. They thought that they could put them on a leash and carry them wherever they told them to go. Well, now they're $14.9 million short. $15.6 million before that, by the way. So I think the employees have got their message across. We're employees, not dogs. You got to treat people with respect here. And you know what? Giving them overtime money is a great way to respect them. If you just put them in an office, give them some pizza, and say, yeah, get your work done, man. That's it. All right, I'll see you later. They're not going to get stuff done. They'll enjoy the pizza, mind you, but they'll get tired. They'll probably fall asleep, and they won't be too effective. A well-rested worker will do better than somebody who has been sitting at a computer nonstop for 13 hours. This is not a lie here. This is 100% truth. I hope Electronic Arts is realizing that now. Giving the money to the Ronald McDonald House Charities that's left over, yeah, good for them. But it's sort of like saying, we're not bad guys. We swear, we give to charities. And that's what rich people do all the time. Whenever they do anything wrong, the next thing you see is that they've given some of their money to charity. Well, guess what, EA? Too little, too late. You lost me. You really did. I'll make sure never to work for EA. I know somebody who was working for Electronic Arts for a little bit, working on their Sims game. I only met him once, but he was a friend of a friend, basically. And, well, while he never really experienced the working there until all hours of the night, there were some instances where I did talk to this friend who told me that this said friend of a friend was exhausted from working at EA because, well, it seemed like there was always some work to be done. That's the case in every job, that's true, but within limits, folks. Please keep it within limits. Don't work them to the bone, or you're going to end up worse off in the long run. EA certainly is, and so are their pockets. I hope they've learned their lesson, but I'm sure they probably haven't, because, well, John Madden owns that company, and all I have to say is, pow! All right, that was really bad of me. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I hope they've learned their lesson. I hope they never try to do this again to their workers. And I hope that the workers enjoy the money that they very well deserve. And I hope they enjoy their family time that they're finally getting because, well, they deserve that too. Damn it, I love that track. Anamanaguchi, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it is review time. And I was lucky enough to see this past week on Friday when it just came out, the Silent Hill movie. Now, for those of you who don't know what Silent Hill is, it's about a world, basically another dimension, where the entire world has been basically overrun with these really odd-looking monsters, and it's, in one game, it's a dream world, and another world, you know, in another game, the entire story shifts. It's very hard to keep track of Silent Hill, but I do know basically the story of 1 and 2, and a little bit of 3, because, well, my girlfriend loves the stories of Silent Hill. She loves the comics, she's played a bit of the games, and she's really into the whole thing, so we went to go see it. And I gotta tell you, video game movie or movie alike, this was a damn good movie. Visually, it was stunning. I mean, they got the foggy aspect that you would expect to find inside of a Silent Hill video game down to perfection. The CGI was not overdone at all, which was something that I definitely wanted to see because, well, after seeing Doom and seeing the terrible, terrible job they did on some of the CGI and that, I was hoping to find a decent product. I found it here with Silent Hill. Another thing, the acting. They got real actors. That's definitely a good thing. 10 points for them. They didn't get somebody like The Rock to do things. Oh, God. Oh, all right, I got to stop talking about Doom or else I'm going to kill myself. But no, Silent Hill definitely does a great job. And I'll read off some of the cast for you right here. Basically, Rose De Silva is played by Radha Mitchell. Sean Bean plays Christopher De Silva. Laurie Holden plays Sybil Bennett. And by the way, Laurie Holden did an amazing job as Sybil. Deborah Kara Unger as Dahlia Gillespie. Kim Coates as Henry Townsend and Officer Thomas Gucci. Tanya Allen as Anna and as the Pyramid Head. And a whole bunch of other guys involved as well. I gotta say also, the Pyramid Head was the best part of the entire film. I knew what a Pyramid Head was supposed to look like before going into this, and I was really looking for it to wow me, basically. And guess what? I got wowed. That's the best way to put it. This was the Pyramid Head I expected to find. He was creepy. He was carrying around a giant butcher knife. He was slicing through walls. He was ripping the clothes and skin off of people. Oh my God. He is the creepiest video game character out there. Period. There's a whole bunch of other video game characters out there. This guy takes the cake for goddamn creepy. Also, the falling ashes of the Silent Hill world look so weird, I guess is the best way to put it. But weird in a good way. Because, well, it looked like snow. And then all of a sudden, wipe the brow and you see it's soot. And that's just really creepy. I'm giving the movie 5 out of 5. I don't do that to many movies. And again, there might be people out there who say, what the hell is this guy doing? That was the cheesiest thing. To me, this was quite possibly the best done video game movie since the original Mortal Kombat. And the original Mortal Kombat was fantastic, I gotta say. But this just really takes the cake. It was rated R, so obviously don't take your kids to it. But anybody who has been a fan of the games has to check out this movie. The score of the movie is a combination of video game music from Silent Hills 1, 2, and 3, which is an excellent choice as well, because the Silent Hill soundtracks are beautifully done. There has not been a song that I have not enjoyed in that. I mean, Silent Hill 1's music was all right, but not nearly as good as Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 3 was. But still, they put the score in there, and there were only a couple of instances, like maybe one or two instances, where you felt the music really didn't fit what it was trying to do, but didn't really take away from the movie itself. The child actor they had playing Sharon / Alyssa, who is Jodell Ferland, might be one of the most professional child actresses I have ever seen. I mean, she acted like somebody twice her age, three times her age. Now, usually, you know, you see a child actor on a set and they're, you know, joking around and all that. I saw the behind-the-scenes special, and in that behind-the-scenes special, they showed her going to work, and she was acting out scenes, like pointing in one direction and the other, and it all felt very natural and incredibly well done. And there's really not much bad things I can say about the movie. The ending was very, very unfulfilling, which will actually make me drop it to a 4.5 out of 5. All right, it was a 5.5 for about 5 seconds. But no, the ending, in my opinion, could have been much more ironed out. They leave it way too open for my taste, because you're wondering, like, what the hell happened here? And I'm not going to give anything away, obviously, but it's a very uncertain ending that's going to keep you wondering, well, what the hell are they going to do now? Like, is there going to be a sequel to it? I hope there's a sequel to it, because there's still more story to be told here. But it's interesting. It's entertaining. Go out there and see Silent Hill. Now, on a completely different subject, I got to talk some Adult Swim for a moment here, because for the past 2 weeks, Adult Swim has been showing a live action. And no, it's not a live action based on a cartoon or a live action based on an anime. They've been showing Saved by the Bell. Yeah, I'm not joking. For those of you who haven't known, they've been showing Saved by the Bell. Zach Morris, Screech, Kelly Kapowski. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so, so scared. Ah. Yes. Oh, that's the best moment ever, by the way, when Jesse starts breaking out into that, and that caffeine pill use, I gotta say. And of all the drugs, they go with caffeine pills. Those are really effective drugs right there. I don't know. I mean, Saved by the Bell, say what you want to say about Saved by the Bell, but it does not belong on Adult Swim. Adult Swim is for edgy comedies and edgy actions. Animated comedy and action. When I see a live action on Cartoon Network, it's a bastardization. It's the complete opposite of what the channel was made for. It's called Cartoon Network for a reason. If it was called Cartoon and sometimes Live Action Network, that would be one thing. But no, it's not. It's Cartoon Network. I hope and pray that Adult Swim realizes their mistake and never does anything stupid like this again. I'm sure it was probably the upper echelon that was telling them, hey, why don't you show some live action? You know, we have Saved by the Bell in our catalog here. It's been showing on TBS for years. Maybe you guys just want to switch it over to the Adult Swim side. I know a lot of the people that grew up on that are probably watching Adult Swim right now. Maybe they'd love to see the lovely action of Zach and Kelly Kapowski all over again. No, I don't. I really don't. If I wanted that, I'd buy the frickin' DVDs. There's no reason to have it on Adult Swim. It pissed me off, and it pissed a lot of other people off as well as soon as they saw it. And I gotta say, the influx of individuals who went to the Adult Swim message boards to scream at the creators of Adult Swim and said, what the hell are you doing, was astronomical after this went down. They had more users posting on that than ever before. And they're probably users that will never post on there again. But they had to make their voices heard. They had to say, get this off of my screen, you idiots. I don't want to watch Saved by the Bell at midnight. I want to watch myself some home movies, or Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, which hopefully will be coming out very, very soon, or Robot Chicken, or Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, or Samurai Champloo, or Cowboy Bebop, or Footy Cuddy for the 14th time. I'd rather watch Footy Cuddy again than Saved by the Bell. Zach Morris might be on Commander-in-Chief right now as Mark Gosselaar. He dropped the Paul part, but he does not belong on Adult Swim. Please realize that, folks, all right? I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who is feeling the pain of this. Like I said, a lot of people went to the message boards afterwards and said, what the hell are you doing? Just please, 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 please learn from your mistake and never do this again, all right? Thank you. Okay, thanks, bye. It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things, and got to talk some hockey on today's show. I know I mostly talk New York sports because, well, I'm a New York guy, but what the hell have the Rangers been doing out there? Oh my God! It is almost as if they took the entire team and replaced them with the New York Rangers team from 3 years ago. This is not the team that was in first place for most of the season. They're playing like a last place team again. Jaromír Jágr, injured. Lundqvist, injured. Yet they're still going out there and playing. And yet the entire team is limping along. The Devils have been destroying them. In and out. Day after day. When they go out there. I watch the NHL playoffs to see hockey. I don't watch it to see amateur hockey. I see National Hockey League. The Rangers are playing amateur hockey. The Devils went on an 11-game or 12-game or something along those lines winning streak before going into the playoffs. So I can understand why they're playing at the top of their game, but the Rangers need to be at the top of their game too. But they don't look that way. They look like a bunch of scared cowards right now. It looks as if they made their achievement for the year. They got in second place in the East. You should have gotten first, but don't even get me started on that. And then they fizzled out. And then they decided, hey, we've done this good. I guess we don't have to go any farther. You know, I mean, the Stanley Cup. You know, I mean, it's a big cup. I mean, why would we ever want that? Of course you want that. You always want the Stanley Cup. But the Rangers are not playing like Stanley Cup champions. They're playing like last place losers. They are not going to make it to the next round of the NHL playoffs playing like a bunch of losers. And they will not make it at all. The Devils are destroying them piece by piece. There's only about two pieces left. After those are gone, the Devils will be on to the next leg of the playoffs, and the Rangers will be in the corner crying away their tears. But you know what? It serves them right for playing the way they're playing. Because even when people are hurt, you need to step up your game and fill those gaps. And the Rangers forgot how to do that. The rest of the NHL playoffs have been pretty damn good. Whole lot of surprises in it. And it's glad to see that anybody can win the NHL playoffs. Doesn't matter what position in the rankings you were during the game or during the year. You can still win, but the Rangers have been disappointing me like nobody's business, and they'll probably continue to do so because that's the way they roll now, isn't it? That was the windup. Now here's the pitch every single Monday here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me, Ian Levenstein, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the soon-to-be ghost of Alias, may it rest in peace in about another 3 or 4 weeks. And the ghost of Sons and Daughters. Why did they have to get rid of that? That was one of my favorite shows on television. It was going to be the next Arrested Development, but it looks like it's gone just like Arrested Development. On the Sporting Goods. The email address for GeekSpeak is geekspeak@gmail.com. That's SPEAK @gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. That's FORUMS. There was a whole bunch of activity on the forums while the Comic Geek Speak forums were down, and I hope to see some of that in the future, but I'm going to need to redesign that thing because it's really lacking. Got to get some things in there that it hasn't had before. And don't forget to vote for Geek Speak on Podcast Alley. A couple of days left in April here, so you can vote for me on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes. Once again, thank you to the Pod Show Pod Safe Network for the music on today's show. And thank you very, very much to Anamanaguchi, who you can find on MySpace, for the music. And I want to thank Deluxe, Jeffrey Tosser, Pixie Tricks, Shonen Samurai, and Zircon for the opening and closing music. And you can find their work and a whole lot more over at ocremix.org. So, this is Ian Levenstein. Episode 33 of Geek Speak is out of here. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody, and I will see you on next Thursday. rechargeable lithium-ion battery. Blah, 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 blah. But of course, obviously, inside your bada, blah, blah, blah. I macamize it. Wow, he turned it into an Apple computer. Fantastic. I talked about About Config. You're going to open up About Config. I did it again. Doesn't really. Not only in other video game publishers and deployers. Deployers? How do I get the word deployers? That's the question. I saw it at the What language am I speaking? It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.